today we are combining all of those things that I mentioned in one day. The 55th anniversary of the church, the shoebox dedication, the holiday meal, and Veterans Day. And I have a question for you. Don't answer out loud, but what do all four of these things have in common? What do all four of these things have in common? Just think about that for a moment. I come to the conclusion that they all are related to or have something to do with bringing people to Jesus. Bringing people to Jesus. And I'll explain. What's the main purpose as we celebrate our 55th anniversary? What's the main purpose of Oak Mound Evangelical Church? To bring people to Jesus, right? If we're not doing that, if we're not attempting that, I know the world's kind of tough, and it's hard to get someone to trust the Lord as Savior, but if we're not doing that, we're not obeying what we're supposed to be doing as a church. Secondly, why do we pack shoeboxes? Why do we pack? Is it just so a kid gets to open a box somewhere in a foreign land and say, oh, this is great? No. The main reason is to bring people to Jesus, right? As that gospel tract in their language is distributed and they're welcomed to be part of a Bible study to learn more about Jesus. Third, why are we thankful? As we're approaching Thanksgiving, why are we thankful? One of the big reasons I'm thankful is because someone brought me to Jesus. Why did Jesus come to the earth as we celebrate at Christmas? To bring people to himself, right? So that he could reconcile us to God, right? And we could go to heaven. And why do we honor veterans? Why do we honor veterans? Now, one reason is because they serve to protect our freedoms, right? One reason we honor them is because veterans served, whether Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, Coast Guard, or now Space Force, they serve to protect our freedoms. And you know, part of that freedom that we have is to bring people to Jesus, right? So today, no surprise, we're talking about bringing someone to Jesus. You know, when we say that, you say, what in the world does that mean, bringing someone to Jesus? Well, it speaks of bringing someone to Jesus for salvation. Bringing someone to Jesus for salvation. You know, I believe the greatest responsibility of man in general is to glorify God by doing exactly what he wants us to do. That's the highest goal or responsibility. You might say, I look at it like an umbrella over all that we do. The highest calling of man is to glorify God in all that we do and do exactly what he wants us to do. But you know what? I believe under that umbrella to glorify God by doing exactly what God wants us to do, I think right underneath that is the calling to bring others to Jesus to be saved. I mean, wouldn't it be cool if you were saying, now come on, y'all got to get with me a little bit. Come on. Connie's just one amen. You can outdo her, right? She's over in the fellowship hall. Let's practice our amens on the count of three. One, two, three.
Amen.
Okay, one more time.
Amen.
One more time.
Amen.
Okay, you know that's like saying sick 'em to a dog when you say that to a preacher, right? He just keep, I mean, we might be a little bit late for lunch, but hey, we might get an extra blessing, right? So I need those amens this morning, all right? So under that umbrella to glorify God by doing exactly what God wants us to do is the calling to bring others to Jesus. Otherwise, when you got saved, he could have just taken you home, right? But we're here for a reason. You know, it's actually even called, and we're not preaching this passage, but it's actually called the Great Commission, right? In Matthew 28. It says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, his disciples, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. That's good. Go ye therefore, here it is. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. You see, we have a great commission. And part of that great commission, if you want it in a paraphrased version from Pastor Steve this morning, that commission is to bring people to Jesus. To bring people to Jesus. Mark puts it more succinctly in Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. He puts it this way. And he said unto them, that's Jesus said unto his disciples, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So our responsibility to bring someone to Jesus is very, very clear. But it would seem that it is the one part. You know, if something's going to wind down in a church, if something's going to wind down the fastest, you know what that is usually? Bringing people to Jesus. Bringing people to Jesus. You know what? It has to be brought before the church quite often in Sunday school lessons and sermons, or else that's the part that we kind of just, we don't have time for that. But we need to be reminded that is our mission as a church and as individuals to bring people to Jesus. You know, today we're going to look at four guys who brought someone to Jesus during Jesus' earthly ministry. We're going to look at this story in hopes and prayers that it'll motivate us and inspire us and even equip us to bring someone to Jesus ourselves. Let me ask you, when was the last time you brought someone to Jesus? Now, you can't do it. It's all because of Jesus, and it's God working, right? But when was the last time that you talked to someone about the Lord and about how to be saved, and they actually trusted the Lord as Savior? If it's been a while, or if you'd have to say, I've never led anyone to the Lord, this message is for you. So I want you to listen up very carefully today. Title of the message, Bringing Someone to Jesus. Mark chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. Mark chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. Listen to this. It's a wonderful story in Scripture. This is really cool. This is one of those stories, I wish I could have seen it. You know, I wish I could have been there. And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days. That's Jesus, okay? And it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born afore. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, that's the roof that is, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and take up thy bed and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up his bed and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. How many of you would have liked to have been there to see this story unfold, this true account in the Word of God? Isn't it something what God did in this true account? And really, one thing that's really amazing to me are the four, the friends, I suppose, we'll talk about that in a moment, that brought this man to Jesus. Now, as a result of that, this man not only got healed, this man got saved. And he commends, as we'll look at in a moment, he commends all of their faith. So if they weren't saved, they had trust about who Jesus was, the Messiah. Now, he hadn't died on the cross yet, but remember, putting your faith in God was what was revealed to that point, right? And they recognized him as the Messiah, as the Savior, as the one that could bring healing. But what can we learn about bringing someone to Jesus? What can we learn? Now, I have a bunch of points, but that's all right. Don't let that scare you today, okay? They're all very relevant, and if it helps you, just grab a hold of it, and if it doesn't, just let it go, because I doubt if any of our brains could handle 10 points, okay? You can jot them down, but I think they need to be said today, and I wanted to make it a one-parter, so I'll try to talk a little faster. How's that? Bringing someone to Jesus. Point number one, bringing someone to Jesus involves knowing where Jesus is. Bringing someone to Jesus involves knowing where Jesus is. You say, what in the world? Now, in this story, where was Jesus? He was in Capernaum. Where was Jesus in particular? He was in a house, right? And it was noised that he was in the house. And a bunch of people gathered in the house. So much that there was no room to get anybody else in the house, right? So where was Jesus? In order for these friends to be a help to this man sick of the palsy, that simply means paralysis. He couldn't walk. He couldn't get around. He probably couldn't do hardly anything on his own, as far as we know. The word just kind of means paralysis. So we're not sure, you know, I'm not sure if he could move his hands, his legs. Obviously not his legs because they were carrying him. But I don't know to the extent that it went. So we got to know where Jesus is before we can lead someone to Jesus. You say, what are you talking about? In order to lead someone to Jesus, to bring someone to Jesus, we got to know where Jesus is. We got to be saved ourselves. You say, preacher, that's obvious. Well, I hope it is. But we have people sometimes in our churches who are truly not born again. And you're not going to lead anyone to Jesus, or the likelihood's very small that you're going to be able to lead someone to Jesus if you're not saved yourself, because you don't even know the way to get there. And if you are saved, you say, absolutely saved, do you know how to lead someone to Jesus? So first of all, we need to know where Jesus is. If you want to bring someone to Jesus, you've got to know where he is. You've got to be saved and how to get there, how to lead someone to Jesus. Now, some people use that as an excuse. There is no excuse. If you've been in church for probably a month, let's say, and you've been saved for a month, there is no excuse to say, I don't know how to lead someone to Jesus. Do you know John 3:16, don't you? It's the whole gospel in one verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that's Jesus, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. If you master that verse or even have a pretty good understanding of that verse, you can share that with someone and say, you know what? You got to believe in Jesus to be saved. So number one, bringing someone to Jesus involves knowing where Jesus is. You got to be saved yourself and know how to lead someone there. Number two, bringing someone to Jesus involves importance. Involves importance. It says in verse 3, there was one here sick of the palsy. Again, that paralyzed. He could not walk. He had no means of support. There was no government aid. In a sense, he was hopeless. What about us bringing someone to Jesus? Is it important? Let me tell you, today it's a matter of telling people about Jesus. There, according to the Bible, there's only two places to spend eternity. Two places. Heaven, for those that have trusted Jesus as their Savior, made that decision, and hell for those who reject the Lord. Now, the choice is ours, but our responsibility is important. Our responsibility to tell the people around us about Jesus. It's important. In fact, there's nothing more important in this world for the lost than for them to hear the gospel from someone who knows Jesus. Bringing someone to Jesus involves important. It involves someone's eternal destiny. You know, some people say, well, hell is just a blank, and then you're burned up, and that's not what Scripture says. Hell is as eternal as heaven is. Heaven is eternal life. Hell is eternal death. And the people around us, a lot of them are so clueless, and they're going to be clueless if we don't try to bring them to Jesus. Number one, bringing someone to Jesus involves knowing where Jesus is. Number two, bringing someone to Jesus involves importance. Number three, bringing someone to Jesus involves a connection. A connection. It says in that verse 3, this paralytic guy, this guy sick of the palsy, which was born of four. Four. Have you ever wondered what the relationship between the four and the one might be? They could have been a relative, right? Right? Just give me a little. They could have been a relative. They could have just been friends. They could have been neighbors. We have no clue exactly what the relative. But there was a connection. You know, you have connections with people every day. And your connections are not the same as my connections. And your connections are not the same as the people sitting around you. There are people that you are connected to. And I believe that God, in his sovereignty and in his power, didn't kind of let that happen by accident. I believe God put you exactly where you are with the connections that you have so that you'll try to bring these people to Jesus in salvation. I mean, that's kind of an awesome thought. Like, wow, that's big. I mean, that's a convicting thought, isn't it? Like, wow. In my family, I'm the one that's supposed to speak up for Jesus? You mean in my neighborhood, I'm the one that's supposed to speak up for Jesus? You mean among my friends, I'm the one that's supposed to speak up for Jesus? Absolutely. You see, bringing someone to Jesus involves a connection. Again, there's family, there's friends, there's classmates, there's coworkers. And as a Christian, if they are lost, I believe God has put you in these people's lives so that you can share the gospel of Jesus and bring them to Jesus. Bringing someone to Jesus. Bringing someone to Jesus involves knowing where Jesus is. It involves importance. It involves a connection. And it involves effort. Number four, effort. Said it was born of four. I imagine carrying this guy around was pretty tough, you know? I mean, even the smallest of a person, four people, that's still a fair amount of weight. And it's not real balanced, and it may not be real easy to carry this guy around, but these four friends decided it was worth it. These four had to get their friend. First of all, he had to get there, right? So they went probably to his home, and these four, one I'd imagine on each corner of his bed, they brought him to where Jesus was, and it involved effort. You know, one thing about Christians today, we're lazy. And one of the laziest areas that we're part of is bringing someone to Jesus or sharing the gospel with other people. Ah, someone else will do it. Oh, I'm not very good at it. Oh, I'm scared. I don't know how to do it. Let the preacher do it. We make all kinds of excuses. But really, you and I need to put our hands to the plow and say, you know what? I'm going to tell people about Jesus. You know what? I'm going to put forth some effort. I mean, if we really realize what's at stake here, a soul for eternity being separated from God, I mean, I think we'd have more of a burden for that. And we'd say, you know what? I'm going to put forth that effort. I'm going to put forth that effort. Bringing someone to Jesus may not be easy peasy, but it's necessary. It's important. We need to put forth the effort. Number five, bringing someone to Jesus involves obstacles. Obstacles. Now you notice in verse 2, it says in that verse, there was no room to receive them. No room for anybody else to come in. It was an overflowing house. Notice in verse 4, and when they could not come nigh unto him for the press. See, the press was in the way even back then. It's talking about people, just the people, the people that were there. But that they couldn't get to see Jesus. There was obstacles, right? You say, well, what are the obstacles today to bring someone to Jesus? Well, again, we talked about some of them. Fear. We said, we just don't have the time. We're just so busy. I tell you, I think every single one of us needs to just slow down. Seriously. We're so preoccupied with all the things of this world that we have no time for that which is eternal. Obstacles might be, as you try to bring someone to Jesus, bad examples of Christians. And they say, oh, I don't want anything to do with Christians. I know this one and he, you know. Their pride is also an obstacle. Obstacle, that is. Feeling inadequate ourselves is an obstacle. Society being negative to the gospel is an obstacle. But you know what? But to bring someone to Jesus, we must face these obstacles and overcome these obstacles. You know what? I guarantee that God will bless your efforts. And I guarantee you that if you go out and say, you know, I'm going to bring someone to you, I'm going to share the gospel more, I'm going to do what God wants me to do, I guarantee you that God will bless you for doing that. And you know, when I've heard it said quite often, when these people say, no, I'm not interested in Jesus, and some will, a lot will, guess what? They're not rejecting you, they're rejecting the Lord Jesus. Bringing someone to Jesus. First of all, bringing someone to Jesus involves knowing where Jesus is. Secondly, it involves important. Thirdly, it involves a connection. Fourth, it involves effort. Fifth, it involves obstacles. Number six, bringing someone to Jesus involves being creative. Creative. What did they do? Well, it says there, they uncovered the roof. Now, it would be more difficult if it was a pitched roof like this. But it was a flat roof, most likely, because that's the way the homes were constructed. But they figured out, they thought, hey, we're not going to let this stop us. We're going to bring our friend to Jesus. So they were creative in their approach to get this person, this man sick of the palsy, to Jesus. You know, they broke up the roof. They even let him down. You kind of wonder, how did they let him down? I hope they let him down gently. But, you know, I mean, what did they do? Did he take their robe belts, if they had belts on their robes? I don't know. Did they take out their outer garment so that they could ease it down, sort of like a coffin, you know, the bed? I don't know. I'd like to have seen it. Can you imagine Jesus teaching and preaching, and all of a sudden something starts falling through the roof, and they're like, oh, what are birds? You know, and he keeps on preaching. Look at the bird again. And of course, Jesus knew everything, but, you know, then a hole, and then, like, wow. You see, they had to be creative to get around the crowd. You know, there's no one who cannot get to Jesus today. Let me say that again. That's big. There's no one who cannot get to Jesus today. Doesn't the Bible say in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, what is it? Shall be saved. But, you know, sometimes in our efforts to bring someone to Jesus, we need to be creative and we need to be intentional. You know, sometimes I think one of our problems, we think of the whole world needs saved and I'm overwhelmed. How in the world can I do that? We need to take our one or two people that is in our life that we know needs Jesus, and we need to focus upon them. And we need to be creative. How can I lead them to Jesus? Maybe send them a letter. You say, I'm not very good or fluent with my tongue, so I'm going to write them a letter. Or I'm going to give them a gospel tract. Or I'm going to bake them a pan of cookies. Now, not a bad idea, right? Or I'm going to invite them to the Awake 25 revival. You know, the last two nights, Thursday and Friday, are geared to the lost, if I understood correctly. But be creative. Come up with ways. Be intentional and work on the one or two people that God has laid upon your heart that needs to know Jesus as Savior. Number seven, bringing someone to Jesus involves believing that God can and will bring healing. It says in verse 5, when Jesus saw their faith, plural, when he saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins, be forgiven thee. You know, we're talking about here in bringing someone to Jesus in our life, we're talking about spiritual healing. Spiritual healing. Listen to this. If we go out and share the gospel, we got to know that God can and will save them if they put their faith and trust in him. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. Listen to this. This is a cool verse. Hebrews 7, 25. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the what? To the uttermost. Uttermost. To the fullest extent Jesus can save someone. And that hasn't changed. From when this was written, that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. You see, bringing someone to Jesus involves believing that God can and will bring spiritual healing to that soul. Number eight, bringing someone to Jesus involves glorious forgiveness. If they accept the Lord, notice what it says there in verse 5, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Notice in verse 10, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. You know, glorious forgiveness. You remember when you were saved and you were carrying around that guilt on your back of all the sins that you had committed and all that guilt and that shame. And then when you got saved, you said, Lord, forgive me that. He takes out that eraser and erases all those sins. Man, this man experienced glorious forgiveness. And when, you know, we're not bothering the world when we share the gospel. We're blessing the world by sharing the gospel. Now, some of them don't realize that. A very, very, very small amount in this area will be negative. But you know what you and I need to do? We need to share it anyway. Because we're doing them a favor. They're carrying around all of their sins and they're miserable and they don't know which way to go. The Bible says Jesus described the crowd as basically sheep having no shepherd. They don't know which way. And when we share Jesus, we are doing them a favor. We're not bothering them. We got to get that out of our brain. I don't want to bother anybody. Number nine, bringing someone to Jesus involves some being critical. I guarantee you, see, my goal is to start an organized visitation program in this church. Glad that got a rousing ovation. But I would like to start at some point us getting together at some point during the week or the month. I'm not sure exactly the form of it. That's one of the reasons I haven't done it yet. I'm not sure how God wants us to structure it exactly. But I'd like to see us get together and go out and share the gospel. And whether it be door knockers or whether it be knocking on doors and sharing a gospel tract or inviting people or going to the park and giving out tracts there or whatever form it would take. But you know what? I guarantee you that if we do that, there'll be some people back in the background saying, I just don't think we should do that. I think we ought, you know, that's just not, we're invading their space. We don't want to knock on anybody's door. We don't want to bother. Again, we're not bothering them. But see, there's critical voices here. Even Jesus, as he heals this guy, forgives this guy, as he comes through a hole in the roof, and the scribes are saying, Well, actually, they're thinking it. Jesus, as God himself, read their thoughts. Notice what they were reasoning in their hearts. Why does this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but only God? And he perceived that, and he said, why reason these things in your heart? Is it easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk? But I want you to know that I have power to forgive sin. That's why I put it that way. And then later on, he says, arise, take up your bed, and go your way to your house. But I'm just saying, if you get serious about sharing the gospel, don't be surprised even if someone in your own church says, I think you just need to calm it down a little bit there. You know, I don't think you need to be that enthusiastic about, you know, we don't really have to do that. I've heard this, and this is an excuse. I've heard this. I don't have to open my mouth with words. I just let my life speak for Jesus. That part is not wrong in and of itself. But they can look at your life all they want to, and maybe one out of 1,000 might say, hey, I've noticed your life's a little different. What do you got? But we also need to open our mouth. God gave us a mouth. As God told Moses, who made man's mouth? And our mouth, why would we be talking about anything else other than the Lord, right? As important, I'm saying. So don't use that as an excuse. It needs to be the walk and it needs to be the talk. And when you do that and you get serious about it, and when our church even gets more serious about it, there'll be some people saying, I'm not going to do that. Nope. God bless your heart with conviction, if that's you, because it's important. But don't be surprised if people criticize. Last point. You say, really, preacher? Wow. Bringing someone to Jesus involves an amazing miracle. You know, this guy got healed. It says in verse 12, he arose, he took up his bed, he went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed. It says all, even the skeptics and the critics, they were amazed. It says all, and they glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. Now, we may not say, we'd say, wow, I never saw anything like that. That's kind of Southern West Virginia way of saying it, probably. But you know, when we bring someone to Jesus and they trust the Lord and they do make that decision to do it, we're not forcing them. We're just saying, hey, here's Jesus and here's what he did for you. Would you like to trust that by faith and become a Christian today? Ask him to forgive you of your sins and be your Savior. You want to do that today? And when that happens, boom, shakalaka, guess what happens? That soul is saved for all of eternity. I mean, that's not a little deal. That's a huge deal. There is no bigger deal in the world. It's an amazing miracle. This was an amazing miracle of physical healing and spiritual healing. Now, I don't think we got the gift of spiritual healing, bonking people on the head. God can heal whoever he wants to, absolutely, and we pray for that all the time. But guess what? We have the ability and the commission and the opportunity to lead people to Jesus. And when they say yes, it's a miracle. The Bible says we become a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. That's amazing. Eternal destiny changed. Today, I know I've covered a fair amount of ground, but bringing someone to Jesus involves knowing where Jesus is, being saved yourself. If you're here today and you're not saved, or if you're not sure you're saved, the salvation that I have and the salvation that the Bible teaches is no-so salvation. When I put my head on my pillow at night, I know that I'm saved. Not because I'm good, not because I do good works, not because of any other thing other than I put my faith and trust in Jesus at a point in time in my life. I ask him to save me. I ask him to forgive me. I told him I believe that Jesus died upon the cross to pay for my sins, and I confess Jesus as my Savior. That's the biblical way to be saved. And if you've not done that, you're sitting there lost. Man, and if something happens to you, and believe me, life is unpredictable. We have no clue what a day will hold. I'd encourage you, be saved today. Nail it down. I don't care how many times you've been to church. I don't care how many different churches you've been to. I don't care how many times you got wet in water called baptism. I don't care how many good works you've done. I don't care how much you give to the church. I don't care any of that. And the Bible doesn't. It's a good thing to do good things, but guess what? You're only saved one way, by putting your faith and trust in Jesus at a point in time. People really make me nervous when I ask them, well, tell me about your salvation experience. When did you trust Jesus as Savior? Well, I've always been saved. No, you haven't. You was born a rotten sinner with a sin nature. Some people say, well, I'm still working on that. Well, you either have or you haven't. You know, it's kind of like, it's. I don't get it. Salvation is a point in time decision. Bringing someone to Jesus is important. Important. People's eternal destiny is being decided every day. People are dying around us all over the place. We even had several people mentioned today that have passed in this community. Man, we got a responsibility to bring people to Jesus before they leave this world. We have connections with people. God has put us in the life that we are in with the people around us for a purpose, for us to bring them to Jesus. There's a good chance that if we in this church don't take the gospel to them, don't share the gospel with them, don't try to bring them to Jesus. Again, it's their decision. We don't force them. We're not belligerent. We're not mean. But we're kindly sharing the good news about Jesus. And if they don't hear it from us, where are they going to hear it? Bringing someone to Jesus involves effort. Let's get to the work, shall we? It involves obstacles, absolutely. Everything worthwhile involves obstacles. It involves being creative and intentional. It involves believing that God can and will bring spiritual healing to this person if they call out to him in salvation. It involves glorious forgiveness. We're not bothering the world. We're doing them a favor when we share the gospel. It will involve some people probably being critical. If you really get serious about bringing someone or some ones to Jesus, but when they get saved, it's an amazing, amazing miracle. I have the same question I started with. When was the last time that you brought someone to Jesus in salvation? When was the last time that you brought someone to Jesus in salvation? Again, it's not. You're not saving them. It's not even, it has anything to do with you other than you being surrendered to God to share the good news about Jesus. But when was the last time you brought someone to Jesus? Or if you'd like to bring more people, would you like to bring more people to Jesus? Or if it's been a while, or you'd have to say, maybe I've never brought someone to Jesus. I've been a Christian for this many years, and there's really not been one. I think we need to do a little better, don't you? If we've never brought someone to Jesus, we need to do a little bit more. We need to do a little bit more. We need to be more dedicated and think about who the Lord has laid upon our heart. I would ask you today, if you're here as a Christian and God has spoken to your heart about bringing someone to Jesus, we're going to sing a song here in just a moment. And as we sing that song, I want you, if God has spoken to your heart in any way about bringing someone to Jesus, you know, I wouldn't doubt if God, when I said one or two people, that God didn't plop one or two people in your brain that need Jesus. I'd encourage you. If God did that, or if you feel that, God, I could do a better job. I need to be more intentional. I need to work on people for the Lord. I need to tell them about the altar is open today. I'd encourage you to just come to the altar. You say, oh, I can't get down at the altar. Well, there's seats right here on the front row. Lord knows exactly. But I would encourage you to move out of your seat. I mean, how can we be serious about souls and unwilling to even get out of my seat to come to the altar for the Lord? You see, it's important to bring someone to Jesus. And if you're here today and you say, you know, I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. I'm not sure I'm saved. I'll be somewhere here down around front. And you know what? I want to tell you this. It's not like I'm preaching to you. Y'all need to tell more people about Jesus. Y'all need to make sure that you're bringing people. I need to do a better job of bringing people to Jesus. But if God has told you that in your heart today through the Holy Spirit, again, come up here to the altar and say, God, help me. And maybe if God has laid one or two people, help me to focus upon them. And if you're here today and you're not sure you're on your way to heaven, I'll be down front. And I'd encourage you to come by and say, preacher, I want to be saved. I want to know that I'm on my way to heaven. Would you do that? Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for your word and this wonderful story in Scripture. Lord, help us to be more serious about bringing people to Jesus. Lord, speak to hearts. Help us to move if you're speaking to our hearts and come to the altar today. And Lord, if there's anyone here that's not sure they're saved and they want to be saved, they want to trust Jesus as their Savior, Lord, give them the boldness to step out and come up and say, preacher, I want to be saved. We pray this in Jesus' name.